Acts chapter 3. I read several verses here. We'll be starting in verse 1. I filled in at Pastor Castle's a couple Sundays ago, and the sound man said he gave me 20-minute batteries, but they had four little waters up there for me, and those little waters are 10-minute waters. Each one of those means you have 10 minutes to preach, so this is a 20-minute, so I'll have you out of here early tonight. But no, I just want to share a reminder with you. In verse 1, the Bible says this, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which has happened unto him." And I just want to preach a very simple message to you tonight. This same God. This same God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this honor and the privilege, God, to stand here in front of your dear people, God, and open up your words and preach. And God, I pray that you would just clear out my mind and my heart tonight, God, of anything that would be of me. And God, just help me to lift you up here tonight, God, to speak some things to your people, just to encourage them here tonight, God, to help them. And God, that we would take the things that would be said here tonight and apply them in our lives, God, that we could go out and live in such a way that will bring you praise, honor, and glory. And as always, Lord, if there be somebody in this building tonight that's not saved, God, I pray tonight would be the night they call upon you and get that settled. And God will be sure to give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The very familiar story, if you've been in church any time, I'm sure you've heard people preach on this before, but as I was reading this story several years back and begin to prepare this message, it dawned on me that the God that took this young man, we have to understand that this young man from the mother's womb, from the time he was born, he never walked. Brother Morris, you know, our little girl, she's 2 years old, and I remember just about a year ago when she first started to take those first steps. You know, and it's they go through that phase. It's like first you put them on their belly and then they can roll over. Look at that. This is great. They roll over and then they're sitting up. And then, you know, then they're that crawling stage. And then they want to pull themselves up and stand there. And then before you know it, it's that time that you all cringe of every hard surface in your house when they start to walk. Because when they start to walk almost like a drunk man. They stagger places. And then it's like they just want to take off and run. Our little girl, she went from like just starting to walk to running. And it was just like super fast. And I kept telling my wife, see, there you go. This is your exercise plan. You've been saying you wanted to exercise again. Here's your exercise plan. But, you know, no, all kidding aside, you know, but, you know, these people never got to experience that with their son. Their son never had his first steps. He never had that opportunity to run in the field and catch a ball or to do any of those things or to go out in the yard or and to play and to do anything. This young man for many years, his entire life up until this point, he was lame. He could not walk. And I find it amazing. And some of you young men in here, that you think you're entitled to things. You're not entitled to anything. You are not entitled to it. We live in a day in a society when when all these young men, it's incredible, Brother Morris, I've had some young men that come to work for me, and what they expect to be paid right away, it makes me chuckle inside, because I mean, when I was 18 years old and I went to work for a company, I was making $5 an hour. Everybody says, well, brother, that was all those years ago. Well, let me help you with something. Gas was about half of what it is now.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So tell somebody you're going to hire them for $5 an hour now. Now, maybe some of these young boys on the front row might be excited about that, but you take a teenage boy and say, you're going to start at $5 an hour, and here's a whole list of tools you need in 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days, they would never come to work for you. But that's how it was back then. But we weren't entitled. But here was a young man. It doesn't say his parents went and begged for him, that he went every day. Somebody carried him down, and he begged for his needs every day. That was how he went to work every day to pay for those things. But to get into the story of it, we understand that this man was lame. He couldn't walk. He couldn't do any of those things. And for the first time, he's sitting at the gate, and here comes Peter and John, and he has them, thinking he's just going to get some provision for the day. But he gets much more than that. The Bible says that they say, silver and gold have we none, but rise up and walk. And as soon as this man does that, he rises up, he jumps, he leaps, and he starts praising God and thanking God for what he had done. And I'm sure if there was any of us in that situation, we'd probably be doing the same thing. But it started to dawn on me as I started to ponder upon this story. And as you read these stories in the Bible, and I understand, I'm not trying to take something out of context here. And the Bible says that the Jews needed a sign and so on and so forth. But why do we not necessarily see God doing what he did in so many instances in the Bible?
Right.
What hinders God? Because God is still the same God.
Amen. Right.
Of this Bible.
Yes. Right.
He's still a healing God.
Yep. Right.
He's still a saving God. He's still a loving God. He's still the God that wants to do above all that we can think or ask. But what hinders him? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13:58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Could it be because of our unbelief that we just don't see? How many of you, we'd be honest tonight, don't raise hands, but just ask yourself, how many of you have ever prayed for something truly believing it wasn't going to happen, but you prayed for it anyways? We pray for things. We pray for loved ones. We pray for loved ones to get saved. We pray for loved ones for healing. But do we truly expect God to do what we're asking him to do? Now, don't get me wrong. It's not we're demanding God. Remember, whatsoever we ask, we should ask according to his will.
Amen.
We have not because we ask amiss. I get all that. But why don't we see God accomplishing the things that he did throughout the Bible? I want to share a few things right out of this portion of scripture tonight. Very simple, very basic, just to help each and every one of us as a reminder, this is the same God we serve, the God of the Bible. Number one, look at Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This man had belief. He believed. Think about this. This man was lame from his mother's womb. And here comes Peter and John, never saw him before. And they come over and he says, take my hand, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Think about that, Maxwell. This man for years, for all these years, laid there lame in his mother's womb.
Right.
If he didn't believe Peter and John, and he didn't know and understand what Jesus was capable of doing, this would have never happened. For God to do the miracles like he did in the Bible, and for God to work in our lives like he did in the Bible, we need to believe him. Now, you're sitting here tonight saying, Brother Rex, I'm in church. It's a Sunday night. It's a holiday weekend. I'm in church. I'm being faithful. I believe God. I got saved. I believe in him. I understand that. But what is God doing in your life that's supernatural?
Right. Come on.
What's he doing? Don't get quiet on me, folks. Listen, God, the same God that we saw that healed this man from the mother's womb, that it was lame all this time, that's the same God we serve today. What's he doing in your life? Listen, the day that I got saved, November 18, 2004, that was a miraculous day. It was a miraculous day. I know the horrible pit I was in as a human being. I know that I was putrefying in the sight of God. And for people, for me to be here standing in front of you tonight, preaching God's word is a total miracle and a change of life of who I was. I'm not boasting about me. It's all his goodness. But it's why don't we see God doing the miraculous like we want to see him do the miraculous? Listen, I believe that America is on a terrible downhill spiral, but I still believe God can have revival in this country. The reason we don't see people saved like we used to see them saved is because we're just not exercising the power of God because we don't believe it. Listen, there's so many times that we fall short of bringing people to church. We fall short of winning people to Christ. We fall short of these things. Why? Just, I believe it's because of lack of belief. It's lack of belief. Let's just take a few little stories out of the Bible and just ask yourself tonight, how do I compare to this? That's all I'm asking. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to encourage you to say, you know what? This is the same God I serve. This is the same God. Daniel chapter 6, verse 18. Actually, go to verse 19. I'm not going to have you turn there because I'm going to read through this. I'm going to get you out of here quickly tonight. Daniel chapter 6, verse 19. Daniel had made the decision when they made the decree that he wasn't allowed to bow down and pray. He made the decision he was going to keep doing what he knew what was right. Okay? So he gets cast into a den of lions. And it is a den of lions, not a lion's den. Because a lion's den could be a den that had lions in it that didn't have them in that time, but a den of lions means it was a den that had lions in it. So we need to understand the difference there. It says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den and cried with lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? In verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed his God. I'm just asking you folks tonight. I'm not trying to beat you up, please. I'm trying to help you tonight because I fall short in this all the time. I come to a trial on the road, and Brother Nathan, I try to fix it. And then all of a sudden, God says, oh, you're my child. How about asking me?
Come on. Right.
But I didn't ask him first. You know why? Because I was believing in myself too much. And I believe that's one of the reasons why we don't see young people going to the mission field. We don't see young men being called to preach. Because they just don't, they're believing in themselves.
Yeah.
And not believing in what God can do through them. We need to believe God. We need to believe God to see God do the things that we can. Think about this in the story of Jonah. Now, I'm not talking about Jonah. I'm talking about what happened with Jonah. We understand Jonah was a backslidden preacher, and he ran from God, and he got swallowed up by the whale, and it became whale puke on the shore there, and he dusts himself off, and he goes into the city. And the Bible says in Jonah 3:3, then so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Preached 8 words, Maxwell. 8 words, but they were the words that God told him to speak. In verse 5, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and it was put, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least. Do you understand that God repented of what he was going to do to them? Why? Because they believed God. They feared God. In Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and hear him, heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and thy servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed him, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed from that same self hour. We understand we could go on for hours about stories about people that just believed God, and we saw God do miraculous things all throughout his 3-year ministry on earth. And we saw it after he was on earth, after he sent it back with Peter and John, how he worked through others. Folks, he wants to do the same thing with you and I. He still wants to work through, and we just have to believe that he's able to take something as worthy rags as us and do something with us. We have to understand that God is still on the throne, and this God that we serve today in 2023 is the same God of this Bible. We just need to believe him like the people did in the Bible. Number 2, look at Acts chapter 3, verse 7. And he took him by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. I have here, we need to obey him. At first he believed him to even reach out and take his hand, but he obeyed him. They said, here's the thing, folks. I believe many times we hinder God because we live a subpar Christian life. We obey God at times. Right. We obey God when it's convenient.
Right. Right.
How are you when you're in your room by yourself?
Right. Come on, preacher.
Good.
Right. We have born again believers that have terrible anxiety. And if they're just get to a place in their life to just surrender to God.
Come on.
Yeah. Just surrender. If it says it, that settles it.
Yep. Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I say it all the time. You young people in here growing up in church, you are so far ahead of the game.
Amen.
Do you understand? Do you understand every morning there's a procedure I have to go through of demons that I have to close out of my life every day just to live a victorious life? You say, really? Yes. I grew up in a very wicked lifestyle. Every door you open is a door that the devil still wants to come through.
Right.
He doesn't, because you're born again doesn't mean, listen, he can't have your soul, Maxwell, but he don't want God to have your life.
Right. Right.
And if he can keep you from obeying God, he can keep you from serving God, he can keep you from being successful, he can keep you from doing things that God only could get the credit for. But God wants to use clean vessels. I touched on it this morning. There's so many Christians that have addictions. And I'm not talking drugs and alcohol. Facebook. Instagram. TikTok. YouTube.
Come on. Right. It's true.
It got quiet. And that's because we don't have to hit on pornography tonight. I said it earlier. 60%, stats say 60% of men in churches are addicted to pornography. But listen, it is incredible. Go out to eat sometimes, sit down in a restaurant, couples sitting across from one another, never saying anything to each other besides, are you ready to order?
Right.
Can you pass me the butter? My brother-in-law, I love him, but when he was dating his wife, I said, bro, are you going to be able to have a conversation with her when you get married? I said, what are you texting about? I said, can I see your phone?
Come on.
And he's a good kid in a pastor's home. It's communication, folks. And I know it has nothing to do with obedience, but I feel like I needed to say something about it.
Amen.
This takes away from us being social with people and doing those things. And listen, don't tell me you use Facebook for a platform to lift up Jesus, okay?
Come on, right?
It's time wasters.
Right.
It's things that the devil has provided for us that cause us. So if you think about this, there's and I preached this before about Satan's back door to the home. All he's got to do, he knows there's homes, Brother Morris, he's not coming through with the filthy music and the filthy entertainment and the drugs and the alcohol. He knows he's not going to. But if he can get you to waste time on social media rather than reading your Bible, if he can get you to waste time on social media rather than praying, he's got you. If he can just get your mind and you doing good things and not God's things, he's won. But the battle is, we need to get to this place. Listen, faith is God. Faith in God is to be demonstrated, not defined. God wants his people to demonstrate all the outworking of faith in their daily lives and practices. You think about Noah for all those years. Noah built an ark for 120 years. Nobody believed Noah, but he continued to obey God. And I believe that when Noah and his family got on that ark and everybody else didn't, Noah was glad that he kept the course. He's glad that he continued to obey God. Do you understand that? Abraham, think about Abraham. Let me ask you this. How many of you in here would compare yourself that you say you have the same kind of faith that Abraham did, that you would take your son? Now, I have one son. I would not take my son, and I'm just telling you where my faith is at. I would struggle to no end to take my son and sacrifice him on an altar. Did you ever think about that? I mean, just really think about that. I mean, Brother Nathan, the knife was out. The knife was out. He was getting ready to end it. That's obedience.
Right.
Brother Morris, I don't know all I'm there. I mean, you ask my wife, I've led us on some pretty crazy paths. And she said, okay, if that's what God wants us to do. But I don't know if she'd be on board with me if I said, I'm taking Jace up in the mountain, man. I'm gonna make an altar. I'm going to cut his throat. God told me to do it. I'd probably be locked up, brother.
Come on.
Amen. His wife was on board. Maybe he wasn't a good kid. I don't know. But his arm was stretched out, ready to cut his son's throat, kill him. The son that he had waited all those years. I mean, you think about it. Think about how old Sarah was when she had him. I mean, all those years she waited for a child, finally get a child up. God told me to kill him. You're senile. That's probably what my wife would have said. Stretch forward arm. I'm just, listen, folks, I'm just being transparent with you. But sometimes we just have to obey, even when we don't see what the outcome is. We just need to continue the path. I've said this, I know I've said this before here, and I've said it at so many churches, but so many Christians backslide on God. I've seen it. I've seen it over the last 19 years where Christians get out of church, they get away from God because God sends them through a trial. He's testing them. He's building their faith. He's purifying them. Remember gold, how's gold purified? It's sent through the fire. And then the dross is scraped off, and then pure gold comes out. And so many times God sends us through allows us to go through the trials and through the testing just to see if we're going to keep that course. And let me tell you, folks, I've been on both sides of that. As a young Christian, I struggled at times because I'm like, God, I'm trying to live the Christian life here, and all my friends are succeeding, and I'm going down the tubes. I just didn't realize what God was trying to do, Maxwell, but he was working on it. I've been on both sides of that. I've been on the other side of the plane when the trials came and the things came, and I just kept the course, and I just kept plowing away. And let me tell you this. When you obey them, it turns out a lot better than when you buck the system.
Right.
Here's the thing. You can run down the road. You can get yourself out of church. You can go all back through that. But see, God's not like the public school system. When you fail, when you say, well, I think 5 + 5 = 30. And they say, well, okay, you think that, so I guess that. No, with God, you pass a test or you take it again. And Brother Morris, every time I bucked the system with God, I took the test again.
Right.
And then finally, God was like, hey, dodo brain, take the test and pass it so you can move forward and get to the next place. Right. He has a purpose for us. We just need to obey him. Right. We just need to obey him. We need to obey him in the little things. You know, if you think about what this man did, he obeyed him. He reached up and took their hand. He believed that God was able to do it, but he reached up and took it. If he never believes and he never obeys and takes a hand, he never stands and walks for the first time.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just got to obey enough. You know, I don't know if you do Faith Promise Missions here or not, but Faith Promise Missions is a great faith tester. I promise you, if you make the decision to give, you just wait. The battle's coming. And then you're going to be tested to see, okay, am I going to obey or not? I don't know if I ever told this story before here or not, but after my wife and I got married, I had the worst year of business I ever had, Brother Gordon, in my life. And I mean, gross receipts for the entire year, counting paying subs and material, $46,000. It was by God's grace. This is the year I'm getting married, okay? I started to wonder, am I doing the right thing here? But I had the worst year of business ever had in my life. And I still remember it was a Sunday night. My wife and I taught junior church in the morning. So on Sunday nights, we always put our tithe in. And you know, with being in business, you know, one week you make some, next week you don't, some here. So I tried to take a monthly average. This is how I did it back then, took a monthly average. And I said, this is how much we're going to put in every week. That's how we did it. My wife said, what do you want me to do tonight about the tithe? And I said, what about it? She said, well, if I write the tithe check, we're going to have $7 left. I said, okay, write it. Amen. She goes, really? I said, write the check. She wrote the check. 5 days later, I got a phone call, build a house. 4 days later, I signed about $110,000 remodel job. I went from the worst year of business I ever had to the best year of business I ever had. Right. And it was nothing but me, but God was testing my faith.
Right.
Would I be obedient? And sometimes we just got to obey. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Do we obey him? Do we obey him? Really obey him the way we should? There, you know, folks, listen, the stuff that we watch on TV, the stuff that is, we don't have TV cable. I watch hunting shows. Like spiritual people do, you watch hunting shows. But the stuff it was about a year ago, Thanksgiving. I tried to watch the football game on Thanksgiving Day. My wife turned it on, and the football game wasn't bad. I mean, I don't support the NFL anymore personally because of the whole kneeling stuff.
Amen.
It's disrespectful to our country. They make millions of dollars to play. To play. I mean, what we used to do to go out and have fun, they're getting paid millions of dollars to do. And then you're going to say that, yeah, okay. So, anyways, don't get mad at me if you're an NFL fan. You can watch it. I still think the same thing about you, but you need to find something else to do. But anyways, just busting on you, brother. So, anyways, all kidding aside. But we were watching that football game and the commercials. I'd turn it off. That's no fun to watch a football game when you have to guess when the commercials is off. I mean, it's just, it's wicked, the stuff that's on the commercials anymore. It just, it really is. It's so sad. I don't know why they need to promote their wickedness the way they do, but it's all told the devil. But the point of what I'm getting at is the things that 20, 30 years ago we would have never thought of, we have been desensitized to because of seeing it over and over in our eyes. Over and over in our eyes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, folks, it wasn't that long ago they threw people in prison for homosexuality.
Come on.
You understand that?
Yeah. Come on.
I mean, we're on the borderline of it being a hate crime to preach about sodomy. We're there.
Right.
How did we get there? I would say a lack of obedience. It's a lack of obedience. You know, there used to be a lot of fights you used to see. You know, abortion was a big fight, and thank God for President Trump and what he did to get the Supreme Court justices in there to abolish and cut back on the murdering of babies' lives, and just a wonderful thing. But lastly, and I'll get you out of here very shortly, look at verse 8. And he leaping up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping, and what's those next three words?
Praising God.
I don't think we praise him and thank him like we should. If we started thanking him for the little things, we might get to see him do the big things. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I wonder how many wives in here have done little things for us husbands and we didn't even recognize it and it discouraged them.
Right. Right.
I know I'm guilty of it. I'm very guilty of it. How do you think God feels?
You're right. Yeah.
How do you think God feels? Psalms chapter 26, verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Psalms 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You know, Thanksgiving shouldn't just be one Thursday that we eat too much food. It ought to be all year long. The point behind Thanksgiving, listen, folks, if you decorate for Christmas before Thanksgiving, I'm not against you. But it's like the fall decorations come down, Christmas decorations go up, and we never celebrate Thanksgiving.
Right.
It's like, let's get that one day of turkey to eat and done, and let's move on to Christmas. And don't get me wrong, the tree went up at our house on Friday. It went up on Friday. But let's at least, that Thanksgiving day is a day that we give thanks for all that God has done for us. Psalm 79, verse 13, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Psalms chapter 9, verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. And I have several other Psalms, 914, 18.3, 18.49, 21.3. There's so many verses that we all just give thanks and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he's done. And, you know, when Alyssa was just a little girl and I worked with her about praying, and we knelt there down there beside her bed, and I was trying to help her along with her prayer life, and I told her, I said, baby, just slow down. We'll get to the asking part shortly. I said, I want you to just take a few minutes and just start thanking God for everything. Yeah. And she goes like, what, Daddy? I said, whatever you can think of that you have, that God's been good to you, just thank him.
Amen.
And she started, and she went on, and she went on, and she went on. So then my wife prayed with her about a month or two later, and she goes, I get what you're doing with her about the thanks thing, but man, we need to cut that back about 10 minutes. But this is what I told her. I said, baby girl, you're going to have your whole life to ask and demand things of God. You will, as you get older, there will be burdens, there will be hardships. You're going to have your whole life to ask God for things. But learn to thank him.
Amen.
Learn to thank him.
Amen.
If you woke up tomorrow morning and you only had what you thank God for today, what would you have?
Right.
What would you have?
Right.
I try every morning to thank God for my family, for my home, for the work he's given me, for saving an old wretched soul like me, for all the things that normally I take for granted. I try to make sure that I thank him for those things. Don't do it every day. I try to. Because that thought to me, if I only woke up having what I thank God for today, what would I have? It's a humbling, sobering thought.
Yes, sir.
When you do that.